So our reading today is from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. Jesus feeds the 5,000. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples said to him, "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he said. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000.
Well, do keep your Bibles open. And we're going to be referencing that passage throughout the rest of our time this morning. This morning is one of those possibly the most well-known miracles of Jesus, the feeding of the 5,000. We could probably recite it from memory, I imagine, from a Sunday school class or an RE lesson. Jesus is teaching on the hillside. It's getting late. People are hungry. The disciples start to panic. Tell Jesus to send the crowd away, but Jesus instead performs a miracle. Five loaves and two fish somehow feed over 5,000 people, and they are all satisfied. We'll come back to that word. And there are even 12 baskets of food left over. That's amazing, isn't it, we think? I've yet to sit down for a family meal, and there'd be more food left over at the end than there was at the beginning. On its own, this story shows, again, the miraculous power of Jesus. But placed where it is in Mark, there's perhaps more to the story than we might first think. You see, it's the disciples who are at the center of attention in this story. What Mark is doing is coloring in a little bit of a picture for us. What does it mean to follow Jesus? I'm sure you've all enjoyed coloring pictures in at some point in your life. Some of you are doing that right now instead of listening to me. But you start off with one area, don't you, and produce a little bit of colour, and then you gradually bring more colours in until the whole picture takes shape, and you can then appreciate it in its full glory. And Mark's begun to put some colour in for us on what it means to be a disciple. You remember back in earlier in Mark chapter 6, he sends the disciples out to start preaching. And he gives them commands and things to remember, a bit of colour. And last week we saw how following Jesus involves cost, with Herod and John the Baptist, a little bit more colour. And this week we see yet a little bit more colour to what being a disciple means. And I think we see three specific colours, or three more things, about what Jesus is reminding his followers. Here's the first one. Being a disciple means resting in Christ. To be a disciple is to be a follower. In verse 30, at the beginning of our chapter, we return to the 12 disciples, having had a little bit of a flashback last week at the palace. They've just got back together after being sent out in verses 7 to 13. And they're no doubt sharing excited stories with each other as they come back together. You won't believe what happened to us. It was really difficult when we went to that place. And they begin to report what's been going on to Jesus. So you can feel a sense of excitement being involved in kingdom work. But you can also begin to taste a weariness, the weariness of their labours. Look down at verse 31. Because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. The disciples' work had brought more people who were intrigued. They wanted to hear more, see more. And so many people were coming and going that eating was just impossible. Many of us have had a taste of that over the last few months in lockdown, haven't we? Speaking to people working from home, you just get that sense of relentlessness. Work has always been hard, hasn't it? But working from home brings its own particular strains. No fixed deadline for the end of the working day, so work creeps into the evening. Trying to juggle work and then homeschooling. Being asked to remember primary school maths or A-level English, having just been on the phone to a client. I just want 5 minutes peace, can be our temptation. 5 minutes when I can just grab a bit of food undisturbed. Well, that's the flavour of what the disciples are experiencing here. And so what does Jesus tell them? If you carry on in verse 31, he says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And we might expect a message of keep going. This is what will all be worth it in the end. Or this is what you signed up for. Come on, push on through. But here we have a reminder that to follow Christ can be weary work. To serve Christ can be weary work. We're going to colour this in a little bit more next week with our next story in the next passage. But here we remember that the Christian life involves a battle. A battle against sin. That's weary work, day after day. It involves, as we saw last week, picking up our cross and bearing it daily. That's weary work, living differently. The Christian life can sometimes feel a little bit like a cycle ride. You ever been on your bike and you've reached that hill you've been dreading all along? And as you get halfway up that hill, suddenly a 60-mile-an-hour wind comes out of nowhere and starts blowing against you. And as you struggle to continue to make progress up the hill, your legs start to burn. And your breathing just gets deeper, gasping for breath. Surely it's just easier to turn around and go with the flow, give up. Well, being involved in kingdom work can take its toll. Our legs can burn and our breathing can get deeper. But to be a disciple means to be with Jesus, to find time to rest in him. One of the troubles in our culture we live in is that the word rest we hear really clearly, but we don't hear rest in Christ. We see rest as time for me to take time out, to maybe indulge in the things that I want to do. Now we all need rest, don't we? Our bodies ache and our minds get weary. Rest is good. But we need to recognize that spending time with Christ is rest for the Christian. It often feels like effort because our heart wants to get that bottle of wine open, to flick on the TV, to want to scroll through Facebook updates or to be on the PlayStation. That's what rest is, we think. But that's not the rest that Jesus speaks of here. They are good distractions, sometimes helpful distractions. But to rest in Christ is to be re-equipped for the fight, re-energized through his words. To rest in Christ is to lay our concerns before him in prayer. To rest in Christ is to be reminded of all that he has done and continues to do for us. That's one of the reasons why we should see Sunday services as so important if we're a Christian. They are a time for us to corporately gather. We get a bit of a flavour with that, with a few people sat here in church. We should get a flavour of a bit that's different online, gathering together. We spend time with Christ. We rest in him. It's the reason why reading God's word on a daily basis is so helpful. It's the reason why finding a fixed time in our day to pray is so helpful. They're not things that we as a church make up. They're things that are gifts to us as we labour, as we seek to live for Christ. And resting in Christ also means, secondly, depending on Christ. There's an element of comedy in this passage. The disciples sensibly spot it's getting late, it's getting dark. And so they advise Jesus, why don't you send the people away, get some food, verse 36. And good idea, we might expect Jesus to say. But then he turns around to them in verse 37. Well, you find them something to eat. Now, when children are young, they struggle to comprehend the value of money, don't they? Occasionally, my wife and I will get the request every parent dreams of. Can we go to McDonald's? Once or twice, I will respond like this. Yes, of course we can. But you need to pay. And our older children get wise to this, don't they? But you have the younger children who reply, oh, okay, I'll do that. I've got loads of money. And so they run and get their purse. And then they bring your purse to you and you start counting through the 1p and the 2p coins. Is this enough? They say. And then you reveal to them how much money a family trip to McDonald's costs. And their eyes get bigger. And their mouths drop open in disbelief. Oh, I haven't got that much. Well, that's the disbelief the disciples feel at Jesus' request here. You want us to feed over 5,000 people? That's going to take more than 6 months' wages. Verse 37. We can't possibly do that on our own. And that's exactly what Jesus is teaching the disciples here. On your own, you do not have the gifts or the power or the resources to give people what they need. Only through Christ can Christ's disciples do his work and feed people with what they need. To work for Christ's kingdom but not to depend on Christ is just laboring with our own hands. That will achieve nothing. We should not expect people to grasp the gospel we share if we go about it just thinking that we are good enough to share it on our own. Jesus is almost putting a check in place here for his disciples. They're enthusiastic. They've just begun kingdom work. They're weary as well. And the two trajectories of those two emotions, enthusiasm and weariness, is that you just think you can do it in your own strength. At our members' meeting on Thursday night, we began by reminding ourselves of a verse in Proverbs. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Living as a Christian without depending on God is foolish, that verse is suggesting. It's to say we think we can do it on our own. Making plans as a church in these times we're in and in the future without depending on God's will ultimately mean we think we can do it on our own. We don't need God. I've yet to find a Bible passage that backs that way of thinking up. Yet that is how we operate. It's why we should be concerned when days pass individually when we don't pray. It's why we should be concerned that our prayer meetings aren't that well attended. That shows a slip away from depending on God and moving to a way of thinking that we can do things on our own. Now, I need reminding of that on a personal level. A great question to ask Nigel or myself or any member of staff is not how are you, but how is your prayer life? Because that shows what we're depending on. A great question to ask each other is not how has your week been, but how's your prayer life been this week? Because that reveals where we're depending on. Being a disciple means in your joy, in your weariness, resting in Christ. And being a disciple means depending on Christ. And thirdly, being a disciple means feeding people with Christ. Because that is what the world we live in needs. Look down at verse 34. I think it's a brilliant summary of the world that we live in. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. The Bible shows us time and time again how sin has distanced us from God. We were made to be in relationship with God, but we've rebelled. And because we no longer have that relationship, we're constantly searching for a replacement for it. Some sort of meaning to life, some sort of identity in life. We are like sheep looking for a shepherd, for something or someone to put our hopes in, to have belonging. If I have that thing, or I'm part of that movement, or if I have that relationship or that career, then I can stop wandering around. I will have found meaning. I will be satisfied. But Jesus reminds us the emptiness of that way of thinking. In verse 38, Jesus sends his disciples out among the crowd. How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they find out, they said five and two fish. And then all the people are told to sit down in hundreds and in fifties. And then in verse 41, we read, taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. You see, the people in the crowds are unable to meet their own needs. The disciples are also unable to meet the people's needs through their own efforts. They need Jesus to provide. And then they can give out what Jesus has provided for them to do that. That is a picture of kingdom work. Paul reminds us the church in Corinth in his second letter, for what we preach is not ourselves. We don't go around preaching things that we've done or relying on things that we think will appeal to people or our own character. No, we preach Jesus Christ as Lord, Paul says. We are to share Christ. If you're a Christian here this morning, then you were once lost, like a child lost at a theme park. You wandered around aimlessly, but then you heard the gospel over the tannoy system and the Spirit opening up your heart to see Jesus. And you saw how Jesus met your biggest needs, for your sins to be forgiven, for you to be reunited with God. And as we look at the world around us, our longing should be the same as Jesus' is in verse 34. A compassion as we see the lost. And a longing that others would be able to find the shepherd that we have found, the Lord Jesus. We need to feed people with the very thing that brought us back into relationship with God, Jesus. That's what the crowd of over 5,000 people experience for themselves. The disciples distribute the food from Jesus. And in verse 42 we read, they all ate and were satisfied. True satisfaction is only found in being reunited with God. The only way for that child lost in the theme park to be satisfied, to be happy, is when they're reunited with their parents. Well, that's what Christ offers. That's what we remind ourselves of when we rest and depend on Christ. And that's what we should feed others with in their search for a shepherd. Later on in the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 14, Jesus will reenact this scene as what we know as the Lord's Supper. It won't be in front of 5,000 people, but just his closest followers. And it won't be to teach them about discipleship. It'll be to demonstrate a sacrifice. Mark chapter 14 and verse 22, we read this: Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. See the similarities there. And he tells them, take it. This is my body. That's the message I need to hear again and again as a Christian. My satisfaction is not bound up in who I am, or what I do, or what I have. I am only satisfied by coming back into relationship with God through the Lord Jesus. And that's the message we need to be proclaiming again and again, whether it's from this stage or in our lives week by week. That's the message that lost sheep need to hear. What Jesus has done, who he is, the difference he makes. Being a disciple means resting in Christ. Being a disciple means depending on Christ. And being a disciple means feeding people with Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for your words. We thank you for what we see of the Lord Jesus again, his gentleness in teaching these disciples, and what he teaches the disciples then, 2,000 years ago. We recognize that we, as your disciples now, need to hear, need to treasure, need to take hold of. And we do pray that you would help us to do those three things, that in our lives we would rest in you, in the Lord Jesus, that we would, amidst the busyness of life, make sure that our lives are centered upon the Lord Jesus. And we pray that as we do that, we would depend on him more. Please forgive us when we do things in our own strength. Please forgive us when we think that we are good enough or worthy enough to do that. Please help us to remember that all we are and all we have is from you. That's what we remember today, your provision. And would you help us, therefore, to depend upon you afresh? And would you help us to feed then upon the Lord Jesus and to feed other people with news of the gospel? Please help us as we do that individually. Please help us as we seek to do that as a church. And if for whatever reason there are some here listening in who don't know that, who don't know the Lord Jesus, who don't know what it is to rest and depend and be brought back into a relationship, Father God, please work in our hearts to help us see the beauty and the essential nature of that relationship. Our satisfaction can only be truly sought, found, answered in Christ. Amen.